Seattle's Morning News. This is Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. I call this From Wounded Warrior to Money-Making Author because Joseph Malik is based at JBLM. You were in special ops in the Horn of Africa during Operation Enduring Freedom?
That is correct, as part of Operation Enduring Freedom.
So bringing food and water into dangerous places, huh?
Pretty much that, yes.
Yeah. Yep. And then you got injured.
I did. I was on a training exercise, and I zigged when I should have zagged, and then I ended up in a coma in Texas for a better part of a week.
With a lot of time on your hands.
Ended up with a lot of time on my hands, definitely. The way it works is in the Army, once you're injured, you become part of a battalion that is in the hospital, and your job becomes to just go to your medical appointments. And in my case, I was in a wheelchair, and I had one or two appointments a week and not very much time. Not very much to do. You have all this unstructured time. And my wife had sent me a hard drive with some things to do, some games and some music. And I found this version of this book that I had been writing a long time ago, and I'd given up on it probably.
What kind of book?
It was a fantasy novel that I had worked on.
You created your own world?
I did. I did. And that was a big piece of this, too. I wanted to do for Knights in Armor what Tom Clancy did for the nuclear submarine. So I researched all this stuff in person. I learned how to sword fight, and I learned how to make steel, and I learned horseback riding and mountaineering and all these things to get the mundane elements of the world.
But why Knights in Armor?
I had started reading this stuff when I was a kid, and I kept seeing these technical inaccuracies in the books that even I could pick out as a teenager. And I decided that it would be really great if somebody wrote a book that really got into the mundane details of it.
And so you write this thing, and then you completely forget it until you're injured in the hospital.
And I found it.
And your wife mails it to you.
That's correct. And then I had nothing but time on my hands with all this unstructured time.
So you read it for the first time in several years, I guess. Huh? And what did you think about your old self?
I thought it needed a lot of work. But I think there's also a lot of introspection that happens when you're in the hospital like that, because you have nothing but time to think. And it gave me something to focus on, something to really drive forward with.
But you can't get it published.
Correct. I decided to send it off and spend the money myself. I sent it off to a professional editor, and I got a professional graphic designer to do a really nice cover. And I decided to start my own publishing company and release it. And it was about a year ago, and about 6 months ago, it just sort of took off. It kind of found its audience, and it's now been a bestseller in every major online retailer and in four countries in the past 6 months.
So you finally finished the new version, and did you print it, or did you put it online? What did you do?
Originally, I just put it online just to see what would happen, and then the print copies started to take off when I started doing fantasy conventions, and not just as an author, but as a demonstrator. So demonstrating swordsmanship and hand-to-hand combat.
Because you had learned this.
Correct, yeah.
So, well, you became your own marketer then.
In a manner of speaking, I guess, yeah. I hadn't really thought of it that way. And I wasn't really sure if there was going to be a market for a realistic fantasy until I found myself up doing, in front of these crowds, doing this sort of fantasy myth-busting and seeing all these hands go up.
What kind of questions?
Almost everything that people see in fantasy novels or in books tends to be inaccurate. And a lot of it is put there for the movie or for the Flash or for whatever. But simple things like a sword cutting through steel armor. We see this in all of the books all the time, and it simply doesn't. An arrow that hits somebody in the chest and sticks out when it actually doesn't. It goes completely through and out the other side.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Yes.
I was going to ask you, how did you discover that?
When I was studying and learning traditional archery, find that out through bow hunting and talking to bow hunters, that I know people who have shot arrows through elk out one side and out the other. And I was like, so it wouldn't really stick out of a person? They're like, no, never. Like,
I have never seen that happen in a movie. It always sticks in the guy.
Correct.
And there's always a scene where he tries to yank it out.
Yep. Yeah, would not do that.
Doesn't happen.
Nope.
So you became more of an expert on fantasy than the fantasy experts themselves.
Yeah.
Do you think that finding something that obviously has become a passion for you helped with your actual physical healing?
Physical, no. Emotional and psychological, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because, I mean, you're not writing. Usually psychological healing after injury is, you know, coming to grips with the change in your body, and sometimes if it's PTSD, trying to get control over the emotions that were unleashed by that particular
incident. Part of writing.
But this is a fantasy. I mean, this isn't about you, is it?
No, not at all.
It's a completely fictitious world. How does that help?
Boy, I wish I knew how to put that answer into words. I wish I did.
But there is an answer.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't remember anything from when I was in the coma because they gave me dissociative drugs. And the only thing that I remember from that entire time was this feeling of hanging on as hard as I possibly could. Like you're on the edge of something and just holding on to the edge of a cliff and realizing that you have that degree of stick-to-itiveness and that you have what it takes to get through what you've just been through. You need to find a place to apply that when you come back to real life after having been injured that badly. It becomes this tremendous test and you're still alive. You passed. What now? What can I do that's big? What can I do that is going to take that much effort again?
Joseph Malik is the author of Dragon's Trail. You can just look him up on Amazon. Joseph, thank you very much. Good to meet you.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.